My dearly beloved in Christ, the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity is a wonderful feast day that seems to be a sort of culmination for the feast that we have been celebrating. We just had the octave of Pentecost, where we call to mind the Holy Ghost, who is the soul of the church and the sanctifier. Of course, we had the various feasts of our Lord, honoring his passion, death, and resurrection, and recently his ascension into heaven. And throughout the year, we call to mind God the Father. All the prayers of the Mass, the orations, are addressed to God the Father. And so now today we call to mind this wonderful, this incomprehensible mystery of the Most Holy Trinity, three persons in one God. Only one God, and yet three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And today also seems to me, I guess I could say it is for me, the beginning of summer. And even though on the calendar we haven't entered into the summer season officially, nevertheless, summer for us who are teachers begins when school is over. So this Friday was our last day of school. Our seminarians all went back with their families. And school is over and summer begins. And when we think of summer, we think about the fact that we all need some relaxation from time to time, especially teachers, I will say. And certainly it's wonderful to have time with your family, a vacation time, some extra leisure. But also, during the summertime, there are dangers to our spiritual life that are, we could say, perhaps more prominent during the summer. These dangers are always there throughout the year, and we have to be on our toes, we have to be on our guard against the occasions of sin, but they are more pronounced during the summer. So let's review briefly, what do we mean by the occasions of sin? An occasion of sin is any person, place, or thing that would lead you into sin. A person, it could be bad company. Company that when we are around those individuals, they pull us down, they pull us away from God. It could be a place where perhaps God's name is taken in vain, where there is bad example, where there is the spirit of the world, and where we find ourselves pulled again away from God and from the practice of our faith. And above all, it can be things, bad books, movies. It could be something that of itself is utterly innocent, like a television set, the computer. So many things that the devil uses to lead souls into sin. So we have to determine what for us is an occasion of sin, and especially what is called a near occasion of sin, or a proximate occasion of sin. So let's discuss what theologians say about occasions of sin, that you can categorize them into two types. There are the remote occasions of sin and the near occasions of sin. A remote occasion of sin is one in which we might fall into sin only rarely, whereas a near occasion of sin or proximate occasion of sin is one that very often, perhaps even almost always, becomes for us a source of strong temptation and the danger of falling into sin. And we are obligated to avoid the near occasions of sin unless they are necessary. We also can speak about occasions of sin that are unnecessary and those that are necessary. We have to go out into the world. We go shopping. Those who work in the world, we have to deal with the world. And so to some degree, there are occasions of sin that we can't completely avoid, but we must minimize the danger and especially avoid all occasions of sin that are proximate or near occasions of sin and are unnecessary. So that's the first thing, avoiding occasions of sin. And what may be an occasion of sin for one person may not be, or may be only a slight occasion for another. So this requires examination of conscience, getting to know our weaknesses, praying for the light of the Holy Ghost to see what are the dangers that we need to be careful about and to avoid. You know what our Lord said to the apostles about avoiding falling into sin? He said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." So in those words of our Lord, we have the two things that we need to do: watchfulness or vigilance. And that's what we've just been talking about, being aware, an awareness of what the dangers are, to stay away from them. That's being vigilant. So watch and pray. Be vigilant, and then have a good spiritual life, a frequent and devout reception of the sacraments, and our daily prayers, our morning and night prayers, our daily rosary, which is a must for us faithful Catholics in this age, to pray the rosary faithfully each day, as Our Lady requested. In addition, I recommend that you develop a devotion to the saints, or perhaps for each of us individually, a particular saint that appeals to us. We read his or her life. We are inspired by that saint, and especially the saints that are models of purity, such as Saint Philomena, Saint Maria Goretti, Saint Agnes, so many other virgin martyrs. We have Saint Joseph, Saint Gabriel of Our Lady of Sorrows, Saint Dominic Savio, and one that I would like to recommend to you is a saint this month. His feast is this month, in fact, 2 weeks from today, Saint Aloysius Gonzaga. The life of Saint Aloysius is remarkable. He was known for his custody of the eyes, for his faithful observance of chastity throughout his life. He made a vow of virginity when he was 9 years old. But he also was very penitential. And when he entered the Jesuit order, his fellow Jesuits could see that he was so prayerful, so virtuous. But they asked him, "Why do you do so much penance?" And he said, more or less, "The reason why I need to do penance is to maintain a state of virtue." Because he knew that he had a fallen human nature. So even though he had lived a life of angelic purity for his entire life, nevertheless he continued to live a life of prayer, of mortification, of penance. Saint Aloysius died at the relatively young age, in fact, a quite young age, of 23 years of age. He died of a plague, ministering to the needs of those who were victims of the plague. And he was not a priest yet. He was a Jesuit seminarian in the 1500s, preparing for the priesthood, but he died before he could be ordained to the priesthood. There is a prayer which we printed in today's bulletin, on the back of the bulletin, a prayer from the Rakulta to Saint Aloysius, which I recommend to you. Saint Aloysius was declared by one of the popes to be the special patron saint of youth. Also, there is an indulgence practice to pray prayers to Saint Aloysius for 6 Sundays in a row. So as we enter into the summertime, that would be a good practice, beginning today, at least for 6 Sundays, to honor St. Aloysius. There's a plenary indulgence for doing so. So he is a remarkable saint. But, of course, all the saints in heaven are saints because they were faithful to God's commandments. They overcame the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they serve as models for us to look up to honor, to invoke, to pray to. So let us make certain, again, that we avoid the occasions of sin, especially to safeguard that wonderful virtue of purity. I would like to read a little bit. Yesterday I was reading from some of the addresses and encyclicals of Pope Pius XII, written in the 1950s, on the subjects of modesty and purity. And this is what he said about television. He first of all speaks about movies. The painful spectacle, he says he keeps constantly in mind, quote, "the painful spectacle of the power for evil and moral ruin of cinema films. He went on to say that he is, quote, horrified at the thought that the poisoned atmosphere of materialism, of frivolity, of hedonism, can, by means of television, be brought into the very sanctuary of the home. And that is the reason why many Catholics have chosen not even to have a television in the home, rather than to risk that means of communication being a source of spiritual ruin to their children, to themselves, to their family. But you think about it. The home should be a sanctuary of virtue, of Catholic living. We have in our home an altar, a family shrine of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, various pictures, the crucifix. The home, hopefully all of you, have enthroned the Sacred Heart of Jesus as the king of your home. So the home should be a sanctuary, and yet the devil gets in through these means of technology, the computer, the television set. And we have to be very careful in that regard. The Pope, in another address in 1954, speaks about materialism. He says, material progress through research and the exploitation of natural forces continues its unceasing advance. The Church approves of this advance, even in regard to its principles, but she adds an urgent warning concerning it. When material progress is not counterbalanced by powerful religious and moral forces, it risks becoming the cancer of human society. And isn't that something that we hear all the time, all around us? Science, technology, progress. These things can be used for good, for God's honor and glory. And yet, how much the devil has perverted what is otherwise good as a means of sowing temptation and evil. So let us be on our guard. Let us make certain that we are faithful to the Mary-like standards of modesty. Women and girls have our Blessed Mother as the primary example of how to dress, how to act. All of us to strive to be Mary-like and Christ-like. And remember that the standards of modesty are not just for in the church, but all the time. Certainly a standard, something that is perfectly permissible outside the church may not be appropriate in the church, but modesty is always required. In that regard, some people will say, well, you know, fashions change. And there's some truth to that, that something that perhaps centuries ago would have been looked upon as scandalous is now permissible because it has become a fashion. So in other words, to give a specific example of what I'm saying, there was a time when all women wore their dresses to the ankles. And when women started shortening the length of dress to mid-calf, at the time it was looked as shocking and scandalous. And yet we would consider that perfectly modest. Yet, there is always a rule, there is always a boundary that can never be passed without sin. You cannot say, well, it's become the custom, it's become the fashion, it's become the standard, or everyone does it, everyone dresses this way. It doesn't mean that it's permissible in God's eyes. It doesn't mean that you can be without sin by saying, well, everyone does it, or everyone dresses that way. So on another Sunday in the next couple weeks, we will reprint on the back of the bulletin the Mary-like standards of modesty. Perhaps we'll do that for next Sunday. Review them. Make certain that you are faithful to the standards of modesty, that you are avoiding occasions of sin, and that you enjoy the summer, your relaxation, but that you maintain a good spiritual life, and especially that you watch and pray as our Lord warned us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.